This is the Mosh Pit Backstage podcast for punk, metal, and rock interviews and segments.
The Matches are currently in Australia for a 10-year anniversary tour of their album Decomposer. I caught up with Sean from the band to discuss the tour and their journey so far.
The Matches, you were also down here early last year for another 10-year anniversary tour. At that stage, had you planned to come back for this tour, or did that decision come afterwards?
No, we didn't lose money last time we came out here, and so we thought, well, let's give it another go.
This tour does feature the original band lineup, so how does it feel playing with all the original members again?
It's really nice. I mean, we had a brief period, for anybody that doesn't kind of know our band history. We sort of like a lot of bands that were from those heavy kind of Warped Tour, Soundwave, like punk pop touring days. Those bands generally were really kind of heavy road dogs, ourselves included. And so a lot of bands from our era kind of ended up burning out or losing members and having to replace guys who basically just were like, I want to actually have a home.
Yeah.
And so the beauty of us kind of reforming is that we're able to do kind of just however many shows we want. We're not really financially reliant on the band anymore, which allows us to make kind of just decisions based on touring, like where we want to go. So Australia is one of those places, and in the States, we just do our favorite six or seven cities instead of hitting the 40-date circuit, and basically just kind of handpick our favorite shows and places to play.
Two 10-year anniversary tours in a year and a half, pretty much down here. What is it like revisiting these albums? Do you feel you find new things you love about the songs now after being released so long ago?
Yeah, so I mean, some of the songs feel dated, and some of the songs still feel like something that we could write tomorrow, and people would be like, "Wow, that's fresh, that's new," and it's not exactly the songs that I anticipated back in the day when we were first recording Decomposer. The ones that I thought were kind of more cutting edge kind of seem more dated somehow, some of the weird ones have kind of stood a nice test of time. The album's opening track is kind of a ballad called "Salty Eyes," or sort of a waltz, not a ballad. Something that you wouldn't expect to hear on a punk record, or really, I don't know what kind of record you expect to hear it on. Maybe a Tom Waits album or something. Mm. But that one when we play it live just feels as fresh as ever. And actually, as our, I think when we originally put out Decomposer, a lot of people were really surprised at that song, and especially when we played live, because we were playing with a lot of other punk bands at the time, and that song would come up in the set list, and if we were on like a festival show, we'd just get drowned out by the stage next to us because it's quite a quiet song, but we insisted upon playing it. It felt really, I guess, lyrically important to us, that song has particularly kind of become more and more of a staple in the live show, to the point now where the crowd, kind of sings it louder than us. So we get drowned out still, but actually by people singing along to it, which is brilliant.
The Matches were a very self-starting band back in the day. What was it like for you guys forming a punk band in the late 90s in California?
There was definitely a lot of music and a lot of bands around when we were in high school that we kind of modeled our band after. A lot of kind of our original sound came from us chasing this kind of dream to escape our hometown and be able to play on Warped Tour, because there was just such a community of bands kind of from that scene. There was an attainable vibe to it. It's like, oh, if I could just get like one of these guys from like Newfound Glory to see our show, like they would like us, and then they would say, "Come on tour with us." And I think in a lot of other genres of music, you know, there's kind of more of a label up approach. It was like, "Oh, how can we get signed by this label?" But in the kind of scene that we came up in, it was really a band to band, you know, kind of grab a hold of my arm and we'll pull you up, and then we pull up, you know, the mm-hmm. bands that we liked around us. And there was really kind of this sense of the industry really not running the decisions and the shows and mm-hmm. and the tours that were happening. So it really felt attainable. I'm not saying it was easy to get like our music in the ears of like Granted or, you know, some of these producers, Mark Hoppus, that produced on our record. But, you know, invariably through friends of friends and stuff, we actually were able to get our music to those guys, mm-hmm. and some of them liked it. And then we kind of broke into that scene. And I look at the way music works now, and I don't know if we could have reached some of those guys. Although some people are becoming more like just more easily accessible, I guess. Myself included. I just like say my email on our album now, and or my phone number. I'll be driving, and I'll be like, "I'm bored. Somebody call me. Let's talk about music." I don't know. Like, I guess it is easy. You know, somewhat easy to get in touch with some people. Some are elusive. I've never been very elusive. I've never really been much of a rock star, so a lot of times it feels like the next echelon of bands or people that are kind of influential are really unreachable. But you know, you never know. You kind of come up. There's a wide spectrum of people, and a lot of people are a lot more open than you think. Mm-hmm. And I think reaching out, not so much like a, "Hey, here's my thing. Listen to my thing," because it. You know, I'll get messages and emails from people that are fans, and I've become friends with some of them eventually. But it's usually not the ones where people are like kind of like trying to self promote, but mm-hmm. where they have a common interest and they reach out to me and say, "Oh, hey, how did you do? I'm looking to like buy like a drawing tablet because I'm a designer and I play in a band like you, and I kind of look up to your stuff. What do you use? Like, what are the tools that you use?" You know, like those kind of things. Mm-hmm. I'm always really excited to correspond with. So I'll reach out back to somebody that hits me up along that sense, and eventually, you know, we might get to chatting or meet up when I'm in their city or whatever. And then you know, they're like, "Oh yeah," and I play in a band, and then I might go see them play. You know, it there's like kind of a, I guess you can't reach out to someone and immediately become friends with them, but if you think about it in terms of how you would speak to a friend and kind of reach out, you'd be surprised what kind of human connections you can make with these people that your first thought is that not that they're human, but that they are kind of stars or like or have a completely different life than you have that you could only aspire to be. You know, they're just people, and I think a lot of cool connections have come in my life just kind of reaching out like that.
Mm. Well, one thing that I've found really cool about this current tour is your support band competition, where you're encouraging local bands to record a cover of your song, share it on Facebook, and then one band from each city will be selected to open the show. I know the competition ended last night, but who came up with this idea?
That was me.
Will you all collectively, as a band, be deciding on who wins the support slot in each city?
Yeah, we will. And we're also kind of listening to what the fans say. So even if you're not in Australia, feel free to go to the Match's Facebook or and have a look. We posted a few of them, and feel free to weigh in because we want the bands that open for us to be something that the people that come to our shows are stoked to see, and we thought this was a you know, a fun way to kind of more casual level of involvement with other art that's going on right now, with other music that's going on right now. You know, I guess doing a reunion thing that's celebrating an album that was 10 years past, it's kind of anchored in nostalgia in the past, and so we wanted like a touch of the present. I wanted to hear some current bands, kind of how our music sounded filtered through them, and they're obviously contemporary and doing their thing or starting up their bands right now. So we just thought it was a fun way to kind of go back to the future and connect the past and the present.
Mm. Onto your music, it's natural for bands to change styles and genres and influences over time. And you guys have kind of covered everything from punk to a more grander rock style. But when you were writing those punk songs 10 or so years ago, did you ever have that aspiration to delve into other genres, or did it just happen over time?
Well, I was always a fan of kind of music in general, first, and I guess I just cared about genres less, and increasingly cared about them less and less as I got older as well. When I was a really young kid, first getting into music, it made a lot of I really wanted to define myself by the type of music that I listened to. It just seemed like an easy way to tell people, oh, this is who I am. I listen to Rancid and Nirvana and Green Day, so I'm like this kind of grungy punk kid, and I wanted to wear all those clothes and have that haircut just so people could see me and they could be like, oh, he's like that kind of human. And as I got older, I guess it mattered less to me to actually the classifications kind of started to get in the way a little bit. Initially, I think Yvon Dahl sounded like a pop punk or punk pop record, because we were really trying to limit the sounds that we were using, because the end goal was to get onto Warped Tour for us. and so it made sense to make that sound like as much of a Warped Tour record as possible, and those songs kind of took that filter. And then Decomposer was really, by the time we were recording Decomposer, we had played Warped Tour 2 years, and we had played with a lot of those bands, and we wanted to separate ourselves and make our band, I guess, just heighten the things that made us unique from that sound. While still hopefully not alienating anybody that liked us because we were a punk band, but we really wanted to kind of step away from the crowd after we had kind of worked so hard to step into the crowd, you know?
And when you did take a break, was that a chance for you or maybe some of the other band members to start other music projects and maybe try different aspects with their music?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, for sure. I think... Well, one criticism that the Matches got was that we were after doing three albums, some people were like, oh, just you need to be more cohesive. We had a habit of working with a lot of different producers and kind of writing songs in a bunch of different styles and just sort of experimenting with all of that. And while I think that the Matches stayed pretty cohesive, there was kind of a move towards like a more kind of open, alternative sort of sound than there was towards, staying punk rock with faster tempos and stuff. I think eventually it was like, oh, some other projects will enable us to kind of mess around with other sounds we have in mind without trying to, like, kind of put on the same pair of pants that the Matches were. You know, letting somebody hear something fresh without a preconceived notion of, oh, it should sound like the old record or something, I think is freeing, and it allows you to come back and be the Matches without, you know, having to cram every little, like, I'm really into surf guitar, so I really like playing surf guitar leads with a lot of reverb and stuff, but that wouldn't sound good in the Matches, nor do I play lead guitar in the Matches, so it makes sense for me to have a project where I can do that, and then I don't have to shove that into the Matches, you know what I mean?
Now, there are rumors that you are playing new music at these shows. Is that correct?
We're not playing anything that we haven't recorded at these shows, but we are playing a new song or two that we recorded last year. So, yeah, we haven't we haven't played that live in Australia, or actually in any town but our hometown yet. And when we played that song in our hometown, it went over really well. We did a limited edition 7-inch with an A and a B side that was new music. It was us kind of testing the waters, seeing if we, you know, still had what it took to be the Matches. And it went over really well, and the song's been going over great with the fans. And yeah, it's called the A side is called Life of a Match. And actually, in those lyrics, I kind of take the piss out of ourselves a little bit. something that we were talking about here. There's a line in it where I call out. It says that basically my parents are moving house, and I went back to clean my closet out, and all the bands on all my shirts had all since broken up or adopted more commercial sound. And I think that was sort of me just taking the piss out of ourselves for both breaking up and for adopting what could be called a more commercial sound eventually. So, and then I follow that sentence in the song by saying that I threw all the t-shirts in the trash.
So does this mean that there's possibly a new EP or album in the works for the future, or is that still under wraps?
You know, it's not under wraps. It's partially undecided, but I will say that we're really enjoying playing music together, and basically being able to do it on our own terms, playing, you know, maybe 5 shows 1 year, 10 shows the next. Having the Matches fit into the context of our current lives, as opposed to kind of dropping everything to be the Matches full time, it feels really good. It's a nice little basically side job for us, and one which I really love doing that doesn't feel like a job at all. So, and I would like to. I mean, we're kind of writing this. Oh, it's the 10-year anniversary of these albums coming out at the current moment. But once that's gone, I mean, you have to wonder, like, how are we going to still be able to do this? Are we just going to show up, or are we going to make new music? That is the big question. You've asked it. I'm asking it back to you. Because I would like to keep doing this.
Well, I won't keep you for any longer, but do you have any plans? Because when you leave Australia, you'll start touring the album in the US, but do you have any plans for after that US tour?
I'm building a recording studio in Joshua Tree, California, which is by where Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age has his studio, and like a bunch of artists are kind of escaping out to the desert because rent is cheap and the vibes are really good. So I'm actually making a studio out there, and then I actually also have a mobile studio in my Airstream trailer that I have been living in full time for the last 2 years with my wife and my dog. So I'm basically gonna continue traveling, continue recording. I have a solo project called Saint Ranger that I'm currently just finished writing the new record for Saint Ranger, and it's actually going to be it's the soundtrack to a fictional podcast called Planet TK. And so it'll be this kind of work of fiction with each episode culminating in basically the theme, the outro song to each episode is a new song. So I'm going to roll out the episodes as I roll out the singles for the album, and then put out the album at the end of all that. So it's sort of a new a form breaking just a new experiment for me in how to put out an album and what an album actually is. So I guess it'll be my most conceptual album. The story is set in 80 years in the future, so I kind of get to talk about my life. I guess I get to filter it through another time period, and so I get to get political and get personal without really putting myself completely on the line. Since it's all a work of fiction, it is definitely very personal and about me too. But I guess it's just a new experiment for me. And then there will be some more Matches stuff in the pipeline too, following that.
Thanks for listening to the Moshpit Backstage podcast. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and Omni. To find out more about the show, go to www.syn.org.au/moshpit. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/moshpitonsin and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at moshpitsin. The regular Moshpit radio show broadcasts punk, rock and metal tunes and interviews every Thursday nights on Sin 9.7 on FM and digital radios. Listeners outside of Melbourne, Australia can stream Sin 9.7 online at www.syn.org.au. Thanks to Vintage Ruin for the music.
Hi, this is Tomato from Flash Gun Apocalypse.
Hi, I'm Enid from Girls Go.
I am Phoebe Pinnock from Heaven the Axe.
Hey, this is Gary Olney of the Misfits.
Hey, this is Kat Sproul from Horizon's Edge, and you're listening to The Mosh Pit on Sin FM.
Hi, this is Aina from Leopard.
Hi, I'm Virginia Lilly from the band Lily.
This is Raul from 1449.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Ali from Beaverhead.
Hey everybody, this is Charlie Benante with Anthrax, and you are listening to the Mosh Pit on Sin.